Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there, and welcome to Propaganda for this week. Dan here with Michael and Moscow White in a show that is brought to you by, can you guess who it is?
Is it a solicitor's?
It is.
Are they Leeds based?
They are Leeds based, but you know what? They can work outside of Leeds and on what you call the internet.
Sounds like you're describing to me Levi solicitors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who I'd guess it is.
What I think would be good at this point is for you to tell me about their range of services, if any spring to mind we could...
Legal services.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, all of them.
Well, they do a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah. Any three that...
They don't do criminal law.
Why do we concentrate on what they do?
Just trying to vary the message. They don't do criminal law. They don't do family law. They do more or less everything else.
Right.
Such as wills, probate, conveyancing.
Award winning as well?
Yeah.
No less. Award. I think it was something like sexiest solicitors or something, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, good. Where can you find details of the services that they do if you want to research this matter further?
Their website, which is levisolicitors.co.uk. And then if you put /thesquareball, yeah, that's where you can get a discount.
10% discount on your legal fees. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Let's get into it then, shall we? Oh, I can't wait to hear how happy Coventry are whilst our promotion chase is derailed. We're recording this the morning of the Sunderland game, so we could all be happy again by tomorrow.
Or not. We will see, won't we? I've kept it pretty light on Coventry. Did listen to a fair bit. They were pleased.
That's not how it works. You win a game of football.
Fine. They were pleased. Let's listen to Matt, then his girlfriend from Matt SB's YouTube channel. Get it over and done with. Fine.
Wow, what a win that was. I mean, before the game we all said, we'd take a draw, we'd snatch our hand off for a draw, but to win that was absolutely insane. It was squeaky bum time right at the end because they obviously pulled one back and you think, oh, okay, they're more than capable, they've got the quality to get another. But no, we saw it out. Robbins made the right selections again to turn more defensive and see the game out. And what a win. We needed that 3 points and that makes up for losing against Cardiff. The only thing is, the teams around us also got the win. So we've not really made up any ground on Norwich and West Brom, but what a win that was.
Coventry was so up for it today. And for the first 55 minutes, we were better than Leeds, which I didn't think I'd be saying. I genuinely really rate them. But we had to dig in deep because Leeds United did show their quality for the final 35 minutes or so and really pushed and could have snatched something. I mean, really should have done with the chance right at the end. But Coventry just did enough. We got the 2 goals.
If you and your wife did a YouTube channel together, Michael, how do you reckon that'd go?
I don't know what it would be about.
Right.
And I'm not into... I know there are some people who do like a kooky, where a couple...
Oversharing.
Doing YouTube stuff that's cutesy.
Yeah.
Not for me, that. Not for me.
Well, she's in HR, isn't she? So she could maybe do stuff on HR. I presume you're an expert as well.
More or less. Yeah. More or less, I hear enough about it. So yeah. I know bits and bobs.
What's your big takeaway from the old HR world? What's your...
Just lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about, yeah.
That's the gist of it.
What are the big three in HR?
I listen some of the times.
Right.
Hiring. Firing.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
Promotions.
Disciplinaries.
Right.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Resources.
Humans, resources, and the allocation of humans and resources.
There you go.
Well done. Moscow, save us from this.
Why? I didn't dig that hole.
No, I did. I know. I don't know where to go now. It's nice that they're happy anyway.
Yeah.
Enjoy your lives together.
That was just really the gist of all the commentary stuff I found.
Any mention of a statue to Joel Pirou?
Works for the Mets. No, but he scored a goal.
He did.
He did score one.
I would have preferred him to have scored the second one as well. That would have been my preferred outcome.
Yeah, I did see some footage of that from the Coventry end. It looked a very good chance from there too. It was just like someone behind the goal filming it and you were like, it's wide open.
I think any kind of view of that chance is probably going to make it look like a good chance because
it was. Chance. It was a good chance. Yeah.
Well set up. I think underrated Matt Yo Joseph's touch through because it looked at first like, it's hard to tell whether that free kick was planned. Was it Firpo took it and it was rough? You think, oh, we've come up short. And then he kind of turns it around the corner into the box. And I think the thing I didn't catch at the time was that Joseph, as soon as the ball, like even before Pirou was controlled it, Joseph's got his hands in the air. Like, yes!
You mentioned that in your match report, didn't you? Yeah, I wasn't aware of this fact until I read it on your match report, which is available at thesquareball.net, no less.
They look cool to those goals when they go in and someone's already celebrating.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing people pick up on afterwards. They go, look, he knows he's going to score. But you probably miss all the times when people are half celebrating. Mm. I'm sure if you go back through, there's no need to pick on Pat Bamford, is there?
No. I think the early celebration is kind of the most convincing argument I found for putting Joseph in, which doesn't sound like Daniel Farke's too keen to do that with his spirit defensive, how much running and work Pat Bamford puts in. But just the idea of somebody who is so confident that as soon as the ball is in the 6-yard box, like, yes, goal, which is never the feeling you get, particularly from Pat, unless he's 35 yards out, in which case he's like, yep, I'll score from here. But then 4 yards from goal, he'll still be, and everyone's a little bit unsure. Almost the ideal world would be to still have Pat Bamford in the team, but to have Matt Yo Joseph with him going like, I believe in you. This will be a goal. Go on, you can do it. And Pat to be like, yeah, fucking Joseph believes in me. This is going in the net. I mean, we didn't work with Pirou, but might work with Pat.
I was going to say, we did in fantasy Coventry go for a big man strike partnership. Why not do it?
Right.
Georgie as a third, because he's quite a big man too, in fact. Yeah. Big man, big man, big man. You don't see that very often.
I mean, you could drop Georgie or acknowledge the fact that the guy's just had a hernia operation and be like, do you maybe want to just have a night off? And then Pirou and Bamford as a front two should be enough for Sunderland, because as far as I can tell, they're rubbish and we're going to beat them easily anyway. So why not just play, you know, Matteo Joseph and we'll stick Charlie Creswell up front.
He is unfortunately still one of the least sick members of our squad because Glenn Kamara and Ampadu can't get off the toilet. Jamie Shackleton, something all the time. Rodon, what was wrong with him?
Back spasms.
Back spasms, that was it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh God, I can see your back spasmy PTSD, Michael.
Which incidentally kept Tyler Adams out of Bournemouth's squad entirely.
What, a back spasm?
He woke up with that problem and then just cried off the game. Whereas Joe Roden, not a problem.
Warrior.
Woken up with a back spasm and he's like, no, I'll play more games. That's the difference between last season and this season.
I've enjoyably reached that age now where I can sneeze and be concerned about the outcome where my back's concerned. You go, oh, that's twinged.
Careful on the dishwasher as well.
Raw, really? Is it a threat?
I did a bad injury on the dishwasher.
Why were you sitting on the dishwasher?
If only that was the case. That would have been worthy
the
of it.
Inside the dishwasher.
I did have a conversation last night with my 12-year-old and he asked me, do you think I could fit inside the dishwasher? I thought, let's not try that. But I reckon
it's quite, it's quite a little.
Yeah, it could fold it.
You'd have to take out the racks, but yeah, easy going.
Maybe it'd probably survive the eco wash, but I don't think the intensive wash would come out.
It won't work either because the things need to spin, don't they?
That's true. No, that's true.
I once watched a YouTube video of someone who put a GoPro inside a dishwasher to show how it works.
So if you want to send us footage of your children crammed in a dishwasher with a GoPro
inside household appliances,
yes.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it. It's a terrible idea, isn't it?
Yeah, don't do it.
You shouldn't do that. What was I going to say? Yeah, ahead of Sunderland. I mean, you're doing the big talk there, Moscow, terrifyingly so. Genuinely, how do you feel?
Meh.
I flip between thinking it's going to be all right. Oh my God, I'm terrified.
The thing is, the margins between it being all right and not being all right are quite slim now, aren't they?
Yeah. All season, they were kind of at arm's length from each other, weren't they? And I was able to compartmentalise them, but they're just kind of converging now, I think, because we're at the business end of the season, as the kids call it.
Yeah. And it's the point where even Farke would have to acknowledge we need to look at other results.
Yeah.
Because he did say 6 games left, didn't he? It was when you look at it. And I feel like I'm looking at it quite a bit at the moment, which is not very comfortable.
Yeah, I think the thing about tonight is that it sort of felt inevitable that at some point we would lose in 2024, because to go through the entire second half of the season unbeaten feels like a really difficult thing to do. The other really difficult thing to do is to go an entire season unbeaten at home. which we are on course to do unless we don't.
It's amazing how they become a millstone, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So you try to keep these things, these impossible runs going. And to lose both of those records within 4 days would be, that would be a bit of a buzzkill.
Oh, they're good to get it out of the way before the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. Not to make our first home defeat of the season to be
in the second leg of the playoffs. Yeah.
But also, I think the one thing about, because there's always a wobble, and so to lose that game with still 5 games to play, and if you take, you know, old people like us, go to the olden days, what did we do before we were getting promoted in 2010? We were losing games all over the place, making absolute mess of the whole thing and took it down the wire. 1992, when we won the entire damn football league, like about this is around the point where we went and lost 4-0 at Manchester City and we looked atrocious and all we had to do was drop Cantona because he was terrible. And then 1990 getting promoted. This is, you know, we lost to Barnsley going into the last week. And I think
that still echoes down the ages to me, that one. I know you can see that the video, I've got the video back at home and nothing to play it on these days, but it's on YouTube as well.
People who were there remember that game.
I do.
It's one of those things that everyone who, if you ever mention it to someone, they're like, oh God, I remember that.
It was just,
the atmosphere was awful.
It was doom. Yeah, it was doom. There was just a feeling of doom about it. It's because we were that close to it.
And then with Millstones, 1974, when we started with the greatest unbeaten record of any first division team ever.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, we were we won the league 1 game from the end. So QPR on the final day was a coronation because Liverpool had drawn with Arsenal in the week. But yeah, we got beaten by Stoke and then just started losing all over the place. So these things happen, and Leicester are a good example as well. So it's never smooth, but I feel like losing, it's probably better to have, if there's an upside to losing, it's doing it with 5 games still to go rather than maybe the penultimate game. And then it throws us into some kind of, imagine if we'd been the penultimate game of the season, and if we'd won, we would have sealed promotion, and then we lose that, and then we have to play Southampton. Lots of stuff going on there. Whereas at least this way, we got a bit of time to really build up the pain and the misery before losing in the playoffs.
Well, actually, I've got the fixtures in front of me by day. I've laid out the calendar between now and the end of the season. Left out the days when there's nothing happening in between because it would take up far too much space. But we play obviously Sunderland at home and then Blackburn at home. So maybe I've been saying, right, okay, we've got Sunderland at home. They've got nothing to play for. Blackburn at home, they're pretty much all right. Not a great deal to play for. So if we can get the defeat out of our system, rebuild momentum with 2 home wins, and then we go into the Middlesbrough game with more confidence. And by the time we've won the Middlesbrough game, we can then go into the QPR game with more confidence. And then we've played those 4 games and we'll have 1 game left, which is a Southampton game. At that point, after the QPR game, when we've won 4 in a row, Ipswich still have 3 games left, which is nuts. So there's the Saturday night, which is Hull away, won't be easy. And then Coventry away, won't be easy. Before Huddersfield at home, will be easy.
Because that was, it was mentioned of, maybe Huddersfield will be playing to stay up. And I just picture us last season on the last day against Spurs when we conceded after 90 seconds. That's kind of what I'm expecting from Huddersfield on the last day. But I think pressure wise, it does feel like, even though Ipswich have got the advantage of the position at the moment, just the difficulty of the fixtures and the number of them feels like they have the tougher time. But the thing is, they've been that good all season that I wouldn't bet against them being absolutely fine. So if they do it, fair enough, enjoy the Premier League and somebody just get those points deducted off Leicester ASAP.
Yeah.
On the Ipswich, actually, and how well they're doing, I did listen to a bit of the second tier, which I think is one of the people you were angry at earlier in the season for daring to speculate about Leeds United.
Just to say, the second tier is it's an all-round championship.
It's a championship
podcast, hence the name. Yeah,
podcast. But I have no business talking about Leeds.
You can talk about the other 23, but not us.
On the on our form generally, they said Somerville has been in bad form recently. And I was like, well, hang on, he scored that really good goal against Watford. He won and scored a penalty literally the game before we lost at Coventry.
Mm. So, I mean, relative to his own standards, he has had a bit of a dip, hasn't he? But his standards are so exceptionally high that he's still, you know, it's like if you're turning in a 9 out of 10 instead of a 10 out of 10, what a dip.
And I think he got an assist. Did he get an assist against Watford as well? I can't remember. It feels like he's done plenty of decent stuff recently anyway. But Anyway, this was them discussing how good Ipswich are after a defeat.
Their record of bouncing back after a defeat this season is incredibly impressive. They had only previously lost 5 times this season, and this is what happened after each of those defeats. After their first one, they went on to win 4 in a row. After their second, they went on to win 4 in a row again. Their third one, they went on to draw against Leicester. The fourth one, they went on to draw against West Brom. And their most recent one, they won 3 in a row after that. So that's a really promising record.
Oh, if you love a bloody Ipswich so much, why don't you go and marry him?
We've done well as well, though, after defeats. That's what I did in my head. The only one that, apart from the last time we lost, which caused a bit of a wobble. But yeah, early in the season, we were losing a game, then we'd win a few. And we do generally go on a run that just completely picks it up. The only bit that was a proper wobble was when we lost at Sunderland, and then we somehow beat Ipswich in the middle of it. But then we had back-to-back defeats at Preston and West Brom, and that did feel a little bit wheels coming off-y. The Farker out stuff was beginning to weirdly. Anyway, there were people saying it. Although there were people saying it when we literally lost our first game of the year. But that's Twitter, isn't it?
It's just mad, isn't it?
But I think we'll be okay.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, okay, good. Like in the long term, in the sort of like bigger picture of will we all just have like lives? Like, we'll be okay.
We'll be okay. It will be okay. Yeah. It will.
It's only a daft knockabout, isn't it?
It will. And
but God, it means so much.
And we won't have to see Neil Warnock again.
No.
Because he's been on TalkSport. And
is he retired?
He's been talking about his retirement and the clear hurt that he's felt from being snubbed by Plymouth.
When you said you would have taken it, you'd have helped him. Did you speak to Shannon about it? Did you speak to...
Oh, no, listen, I'm retired now, Alan. That's
but you just said
now.
You'd have helped him.
Yeah, I would have done, but, you know, not now. Not now. It's all done and dusted now, and I'm looking forward to... Like Ali says, I'm looking forward to going around some of the islands now up there and what have you. I've got some bucket lists now.
Do you notice it's always framed as helped them? It's never
I was thinking that.
Taken a job or been appointed. It's always framed sympathetically through his eyes.
It's arm's length. Anything that goes well, I helped with. If things are fucked, then I was only here to try to help.
The other key thing there is that, you know, the son about whether he should have been offered the Plymouth job. And the question was, did you speak to Sharon about it? As far as I'm aware, Sharon is not the chief executive of Plymouth Argyle Football Club. Maybe that's the thing that they were expecting to say. Oh, lads, Sharon thinks I should do the job. All right, well, if Sharon thinks you should work here, come on down. Give Sharon the job. Why didn't Sharon have the job?
It'll kill him if Plymouth stay up without him, won't it? He'd love to have gone in there and taken credit for it, but they probably will. And then he'd be like, well, you know, they've done a great job there, but I could have... I've offered to help. Anyway, Sharon said, asked me some tough questions in the interview. On not taking responsibility for anything, they do raise what happened with him at Aberdeen. And he had this to say about it.
What happened at the Dandy Dons? Come on.
I was frozen solid. I couldn't move. I had to leave. Listen, one or two things cropped up and I thought he was a good time. I only went in to help him out and it didn't work out. I managed to get him through the cup. I was glad we beat Kilmarnock in the quarter final. We got Celtic now, Alan.
That's right.
In the semi. The good group of lads. I tell you what, Ali, though, what I did think about when I was there is, you know, if you have a year as a club like Aberdeen and you've got two transfer windows and you've got an opportunity of bringing 3 or 4 players in, I think you've got a chance now against the top two. Mm-hmm. I think if you bring the right ones in, Aberdeen have gone... They're all data, are you with me? They bring them in from abroad on data, which I'm not sure about that. But I look at the league and I thought it's a bit closer. I mean, those two are miles ahead at the minute financially, aren't they?
Yes.
I had to laugh, Ali, with the VAR. We have a go down here, don't we? I mean, VAR in Scotland. You had to take your packing up, Alan, and a cup of coffee to sit down and wait while they decided what they were doing up there.
Always needs his players, doesn't he? He always needs two transfer windows. He can't coach what's there. It's just not coachable.
He's basically saying that if I'd have had a couple of transfer windows, I'd have won that league. But
it's amazing. Nobody's thought of the idea before that to break the old firm hegemony in Scotland is just bring Paddy Kenny in.
And Pelts. Get Pelts in.
Yeah, get Pelts.
The other thing as well is
David Norris just retired, didn't he? So that's probably because...
He was just waiting for the call, maybe.
Once he found out that Warnock wasn't going to be there for the next transfer window, I was like, I'm not going to get a job. Plymouth, he's not doing that either.
Just to further expand the point about I only went in to help them. Mm-hmm. So you get a further expansion on how it's couched in particular language. I only went in to help them. I didn't go in to do a full professional job. I only went in to help them, minimising.
Which he failed to do, saying. They didn't win any of the seven league games.
Got them through to a semi-final with Celtic.
He basically won one game against Kilmarnock because the other cup game was against, was it Bonnyrigg?
Yeah.
Athletic.
Athletic Rangers, something like that. Basically some like a park football team, more or less.
I mean, I think they are in the four professional divisions now.
Bonnyrigg are?
I think they're in like no Scottish way. Division League 2 or whatever, yeah. We looked some weeks ago.
They can't have, they'll have at least like a most of about 300 people watching them.
Right.
It's not proper football. I'm not having it,
you're
Neil.
You're not having it.
And he still managed to not have any possession against them. The last time a team other than Rangers Celtic won it, by the way, was 84-85.
Right.
But they have Paddy Kenny in goal.
That's the thing. No one's thought about it, have they? No one's thought about it.
It's Bonnyrigg Rhodes Athletic is the name of the team.
What league are they in?
They are in Scottish League 2. They are currently placed eighth out of the 10 teams.
Okay. Well done, Neil. It was a great win that people will talk about for years to come, I'm sure.
Just looking at the attendances, by the way, 625 was at their last home game against Peterhead.
I mean, that's distinctly, it's not even, that's like below National League.
It's double
North,
what you
it?
Claimed.
Okay, fine.
You fantasist, Normanton.
All right, fine. Do you want to hear what he's got to say about the promotion race in the Championship anyway? Because he's obviously an expert in the Championship. But in Scotland, he mainly knows about Rangers and Celtic.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've done quite well over recent years.
I noticed that.
On there. On the promotion race in England, and I've bleeped out a little bit here as well because there's a part of a quiz for you in here too.
It's difficult to say who it is. Leicester should go up, but now you'd think, you know, Ipswich have always been the ones that's given no chance when you look at the pundits, but McKenna's done a fantastic job.
Hasn't he?
You know, I know they've spent a bit of money, but in comparison with Leeds and Leicester, you know, they're massive clubs with the massive squads, and I just love Ipswich, Alan. He's a bread and butter player, and
yeah.
I'd have him in my team. I'd have him in the trenches any day alongside me.
If that's not Sam Morsey, I'll eat my hat.
Yeah, it's got to be Morsey.
Play the clip.
I just love Sammy Morsey at Ipswich, Alan. He's a bread and butter player, and
yeah.
I'd have him in my team. I'd have him in the trenches any day alongside me.
Yeah.
Sammy Morsey
as well.
Yeah,
that's what we underrated, is that it's not Sam Morsey, it's Sammy Morsey.
Well, Morsey
so
is obviously...
No points.
He's already, if he was called Sam Morse, he'd call him Morsey, yeah. Because he's already got the...
Oh, we call him Code.
He's Sammy.
Sammy Morsey. Of course he is. Of course,
I mean,
that's
I only
the
went into
take.
Trenches to help the lads go over the top.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Next.
Let's go one unbearable dickhead to another. Let's go Rory.
Right.
Talking about Chelsea and their...
Could have had the Chelsea job or not, couldn't he?
He could. He doesn't like to talk about it.
No, doesn't bring that up very often. I'd like, you know, is Poch going to make it to the end of the season? Is there still a chance that Warnock could ask Sharon if he's allowed to take over at Chelsea, and then Sharon can go in there and give the job to O'Neill?
Do you see Chelsea Rory, just before we play the clip, he was getting into some beef with WrestleMania fans over the weekend?
Oh, so yeah, so now it is childish or something.
Yeah. The general thrust being, you know, people dicking about, being theatrical, putting on a stupid show for adults and so on. You see where I'm going with this.
If you like it, you like it, I suppose. And, yeah, same, yeah. And the same goes with Rory, even though...
It's a form of entertainment, whereas you can't say the same for Rory, can you?
Exactly.
A collection of distinctly average footballers. And I genuinely mean that. Never before in the Premier League era have Chelsea had such an abject collection of footballers. I really do mean that.
Honestly.
Right, which...
The whole grift.
Which pre...
Why are people giving him a platform?
The Premier League era, to be clear. Yeah. I've done a bit of research here a few months ago.
I was going to ask, which season are you going for pre-Abramovich?
Well, their first Premier League season, their big signings of the summer, because you know it's all about signings, were Mal Donaghy, who was about 40 years old, John Spencer, Nick Colgan, and Robert Fleck.
John Spencer of the Blues Explosion.
Let's say yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
That's what I thought of, yeah. And they finished 11th that season. They finished 14th the season after, then 11th and 11th. I mean, if you go to that 92-93 squad, they did have David Hopkin in it. Maybe he'd have been a good... If Chelsea fans now were signing like the modern version of that, they'd no doubt be delighted. You've got superstars in there like Frank Sinclair, Ian Pearce, Kevin Hitchcock. Really, really big name players who I'm sure your modern Chelsea fan are well and truly au fait with.
I mean, if you go to 93-94, Dimitri Kaarin used to wear tracky bottoms, didn't he? So that was pretty fun. That was not average. And they get a lot of attention for that.
Speaking of averages, their average attendance in that first Premier League season was under 19,000 as well.
The halcyon days of Ken Bates, eh?
So the kind of brilliant, this is Chelsea, that's kind of what Chelsea were not long ago. And then a Russian arrived with a boatload of money. Made them somehow
think... Stolen money at that.
It was stolen money, you could say, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're probably on safe ground now, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not thought of particularly favourably at the minute.
No,
the old, the old oligarchs, I don't think. Yeah, so that's Rory spouting some bollocks. Right, what's next?
We'll stick with Chelsea. We'll go with the byline. This is someone doing a watch-along. Chelsea obviously came into the Sheffield United game off the back of that thrilling 4-3 win against Scum, didn't they? Where they scored two goals in like 97 and 99 minutes or something like that. So he's watching them winning 2-1 away at Sheffield United, and here he is. He's bemoaning the fact that it's been a bit of a boring win as we go into injury time.
Such a dull game today in comparison from one extreme to the other. From United to this, it's just night and day. An absolute slog. Sheffield United, dude! It's 2-2! Fuck! Oh, fuck off. Honest to shitting Christ. Fucking twats! Well, there you go. There you go. Fucking call your European football what it is. Non-existent is what I would call it. Fucking absolutely bottled it. We have bottled it once again. Well, that's the end of that. That's the end of that. European football, absolutely fucking no chance now. Dropping 2 points right at the death like that. Ridiculous. Become a laughing stock after what we did against United to now go and draw against fucking Sheffield United.
Genuinely, I had no idea that was the result until you've just told me, until we played that clip. I had no idea that game was taking place.
Yeah, it happened.
So they're not the laughing stock. No one cares.
Dead rubber, innit? And also, they don't want that European football. They'll get in it and they'll moan like fuck next year about,
we've got to play Thursday in Bratislava.
It's Conference League. It's really annoying. We've only got a small squad.
And aren't the financial fair play restrictions even more onerous if you're playing in Europe? I don't know if Todd Bowley's mind can handle another set of rules being imposed on him signing 45 players. Maybe Sheffield United should go into Europe. I quite like to see Chris Wilder on a European tour.
Treating him like a stag do. Game's Thursday. Yeah, I'm going to go over Tuesday.
Make a long week of it.
I'm just going to go throw some patio furniture around the town square, that kind of a thing.
Coming back Wednesday because you just don't like it.
Couldn't find anywhere that did a full English.
Yeah, not Sheffield.
We'll stick with Premier League knobheads and go Flying Pig United. So I've just mentioned the Chelsea Scum game. This is Flying Pig United after that Chelsea comeback.
We had it in the palm of our fucking hand! The overall display of this United side under Ten Hag this season has been fucking shit! Listen, if you get a sexually transmitted disease like syphilis, you best get yourself down the old gum clinic and get some fucking antibiotics and treatment for it! You know what I mean? You don't just let it go until your fucking head falls off! You know what I mean? Why the fuck are we continuing with our fucking head falling off, mate?
Well, that's a sensible and proportionate internet response, isn't it, Michael?
Have you ever caught a disease that's made your head fall off?
Does it look like it?
No.
Mine did once come off, but did I just managed off. To get it back on, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it? Gone straight into the old sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah, they should hook them up with the old Leicester lads.
It's good that we've got, that's kind of where Ten Hag now is sitting. I know, obviously, we had the war criminal Arteta.
Mm.
There was Raheem Sterling and Pochettino were both terrorists
mm-hmm.
a while ago, and now Ten Hag is a sexually transmitted disease.
Syphilis. Right.
The sort that makes your head fall off.
The classic kind, presumably.
A real bad one. A real bad case.
Speaking of the Leicester lads, you've got some here, haven't you?
They did a stream. They did a stream last night.
Was it a stream of bodily fluids, perchance?
I mean, they didn't actually mention the wanking, but...
The wanking.
Which, if you are a new viewer or listener...
wanking.
If you're a new viewer or listener, that seemed to be a recurring theme, didn't it, on their streams? There's a lot of bodily fluid chat.
Yeah.
Jizzing and things like that.
So instead, this was the intro to it. Again, I didn't watch the whole thing. Actually, I ignored them, and then I went on YouTube later in the evening, and you get a notification to say they're live now. So I was like, oh, fine, go on, I'll go into it. So this was his intro.
What a hero you are.
This was his intro to it, and it then led into a bewildering montage of just photos of empty Leeds streets.
Which with streets?
Some music. Just
specifically, like city centre or
yeah, suburbs? Like city centre streets. But, you know, just like a
the head row.
Like on a morning when it's shut, everything's shut and no one's about. It was just pictures like that.
Brigger.
And he's obviously spent time putting it together over some music.
Name a street in the Leeds city centre, Moscow.
Duncan Street.
Good choice. The Duncan open again now, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
If you want to go in there for a cheap pint, mm-hmm. I suppose. He does slightly ruin his own montage by at one point flicking to someone else who's waiting to come on the stream and she's chewing a finger, which kind of ruins the impact. But this was...
Is that a metaphor?
This was how he starts the show.
Hello, good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello, welcome along to the show. This is LTIDT from Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for joining us, whether you are watching on YouTube or listening via your favourite podcast platform. You are most welcome, unless you're a Leeds fan and look, what are you doing here? And I love the fact that this seems to have got one or two Leeds fans back up. But I just want to play this. Bear with me. We'll bring the guests in a second. But to all the Leeds fans out there, you were all over my platform before Coventry beat you. You were commenting. It was probably 70-30% comments, Leeds to Leicester fans, and that's 70% Leeds fans, when you were top of the league. 2 weeks, technically one game because it was an international break. That's how long you were top. I think it's 31 weeks we've been top this season. Bit difference, but hey, look, never mind. It's all about going up. I'm not bragging the fact that we're top. I'm enjoying it that we've gone back to where, you know, to the top of the league. But this is having to go with all those Leeds fans that had nothing better to do than go and watch all the Leicester fans shows. That's all I can say. This is for you Leeds fans.
Tell you what, he's edgy, isn't he?
So that's when it went into that. What are you doing here? Just keep an eye.
Yeah.
Because I feel someone should.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the old 70-30 split of Leeds fans to Leicester fans, I don't think, as the kids would say, that's not the dub you think it is. Is it?
Anyway, the clip then plays, and he's not done because he's back with some more. I can only assume he scripted these put-downs because they're so damn good.
So, to all you Leeds fans, stop shagging the cows up there. Stop watching Emmerdale. Go and support your team. Don't spend your life on Leicester channels. I know we're better than Leeds channels, but hey, you know what I mean? Get a life. Get a life. I don't know where you've all gone, though. That's the question. Kate, can I ask you, have you seen any Leeds fans about?
I've not seen any for a while. No, it's gone very quiet.
It has, hasn't it? Dave, have you seen any recently?
Yeah, I have. He runs the dog and duck in Bognor.
Well,
yeah, but he's a nice guy.
Yeah. I don't know where they've all disappeared to.
Well, that's really the two of those lads we had in last week. They were all right, weren't they?
I literally, every time I posted a video, whether it was a Let's Talk Leicester, watch along, a review, a preview, it even previews for like the Leicester Birmingham game. Leeds fans were all on there. We're top, and all this. Suddenly, they lose to Coventry. We go back top. Not a word. But anyway, I just thought I'd play that. If you do want to watch that video again, by the way, it is available on Leicester Till I Die TV for all you Leeds fans, but I probably pissed them off because I've turned off commenting.
They said it's better than the Leeds channels. I think he's right, because that's Leicester Till I Die TV 1.
Yeah.
And they've got two as well. I mean, we haven't got two, have we?
It's true. And
double the pleasure, twice the fun.
I don't think you can brag about Leeds fans not commenting anymore when you've turned off the comments. Where have they gone now? They don't comment at all.
They're all running the dog and duck.
What, the one in Bognor?
That one specifically.
I wasn't a joke. He was just... That guy just... Christ. Dan, please.
That's what he did.
Yeah, the guy... It wasn't a joke. The guy... there is a pub in Bognor called Dog and Duck, and it seems to be run by a Leeds fan, and yeah. that guy lives in Bognor.
Right, super.
It's got 4.5 out of 5 on TripAdvisor. Advancer. The Dog and Duck has seamlessly transitioned into a traditional pub, making it, it's evolved from micro pub roots, embraced tradition with a diverse array, cask ales, craft beers and ciders,
surrounded by untapped
cocktails. Yeah.
Should we go?
Landlord Jamie Boyle's warm welcome set the tone for a bustling evening. So, and they have a musical trio called Super Strings. We're adding to the lively... sounds good. So if you are in Bognor, or a lot of people go on holiday to Bognor, don't they? Yeah, it's a holiday destination, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Had a lovely time. It's Bangor I'm thinking of. Anywho.
Bognor, the name of it does it dirty, I think.
Mm.
Bognor, but Regis has got that royal...
Cyril.
That's true, yeah.
Things of it.
For the benefit of anybody wondering, by the way, it's some miles just west of Brighton on the south coast, sort of between Brighton and Portsmouth on the south coast.
So,
for anybody who's not geographically au fait with where Bognor Regis is.
It seems to be a very good pub run by a big Leeds fan, so go there for a pint. And if it's not as good as TripAdvisor makes out to be, take it up with them.
What about TripAdvisor?
Do
they rate it?
We'll hold all responsibility for misleading reviews on TripAdvisor.
Good stuff. Right, anyway.
Apologies for the man who's in Bognor Regis, by the way. It's his mic that's crackly.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about that. It's what happens when fluids get mixed with electric. But here they are. They're talking about the EFL awards that we were on about. So we have Farker nominated and Somerville and Archie Gray. They're discussing at length why Maresca hasn't been nominated, which is, I suppose, in some ways it's fair enough because they have been top of the league for the majority 30, of it.
31 weeks.
31 weeks. I suppose the other argument will be if you've got resources
cheated.
You shouldn't have. But anyway, so they're saying it's an EFL conspiracy that he's not been nominated for Manager of the Year.
Right.
But then Kieran Dewsbury-Hall has been nominated for Championship Player of the Year.
So should we find out
Do you know why that is?
He didn't cheat.
Let's find out.
But the fact he's been nominated seems crazy to me when they won't nominate our manager. It just seems backsided, you know, that, well, we won't nominate any Leicester players or Leicester manager because they've done this, but, oh, Dewsbury Hall's in it. I can't even say what I'm thinking.
Because they want to sell him to a Premier League club.
Calm down, Dave. It's not good for your blood pressure.
It's just drives me nuts.
But they want to sell him and promote him to a Premier League club away from Leicester. So what better way to do it?
Yeah. You know, you don't think these things happen anymore, do you? Outside Russia and China, but they do. They happen in the bloody Football League.
So let me just check this. Let's run this by you. You understand the context here. So Maresca, the bald fraud, has not been nominated because it's a conspiracy for some reason.
Well, because the EFL won't allow him to win because... They won't allow Leicester people to win because of they've lost this case against the football against Leicester.
So that's the conspiracy. They can't go in. They cannot go in.
Leicester banned from it. Apart from the one that is in, and he's only in
because it's a conspiracy to sell him.
Because they want to sell him.
Yeah, which is part of the whole PSR sort of conspiracy thing, isn't it? It's a way of getting good players out of smaller clubs into bigger clubs. Is that to balance the books? You'd better sell your best player to a much bigger club who can afford him. Which actually, I don't think it's a conspiracy, but it is more like it's a side effect of actually how the rules are working. So I do have some sympathy there, but I don't think that's why the EFL have nominated KDH for this award.
That'd be an interesting meet in Moscow, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't. Yeah, I mean, and also it's kind of irrelevant because as we said about like Real Madrid coming to watch Archie Gray. It's not like they weren't going to do that unless you got nominated for EFL. Did he get like Academy Player of the Year as well? Is he nominated for that? He's nominated.
Dewsbury Hall.
No, Archie Gray.
Oh, Archie Gray. Yeah, is Apprentice of the Year or something? Yeah, one of them, or Trainee of the Year or something? One of them, and the young player.
But the idea that you know Manchester City would be like, well, unless
first we've heard of this guy.
Yeah, unless he's got EFL Player of the Year on his CV, we're just not even going to look at him.
And I mean, they will be selling Dewsbury Hall.
Well, they have to because EFL are going to force them because otherwise they get a massive, an even bigger points deduction than they would otherwise. And they could sell him to us. If we go up, they don't. We'll have him. He's a good player.
You had to say a much bigger club. Yeah. So
I like the idea that guy, he can't even say what he's thinking.
Yeah, his microphone's not working.
I noticed he couldn't say what he was thinking, to be honest. Just regards to all these people coming to watch Archie Gray, I go watch, you know, Margot Robbie films, but it doesn't mean anything, does it? That's not happening.
I'm not sure what you're getting at. Are you suggesting people are just coming for entertainment to watch Archie Gray?
They can come and watch him, but that's not happening, is it?
Okay, fair enough.
What's not happening?
Him leaving for silly clubs like Real Madrid. He's not bothered about that. In the same way that Margot Robbie's not leaving her presumably very attractive husband to come and shack up with me in my mid-40s in Bradford.
I think it would be a nice change for her. That's what they say, isn't it? Change is as good as a rest.
How quickly do you think she'd leave?
He's got an international airport.
Leeds Bradford, yeah. Shared with Leeds, obviously, from a Bradford perspective. Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, should we listen to... I was trying to distract myself, really, from promotion stuff this week. And last week, from the EFL Awards, in fact, we were talking about the lady who's nominated from Leeds for like a Lifetime Achievement Award from the catering department. And we mentioned Chilino cooking his pasta.
Yes.
And that glorious day. It's still on YouTube, I was pleased to discover. Terry George still has it on his YouTube channel. It was also 10 years last week when his initial takeover was approved. So Chilino stuff was in the air. So I went back to watch the clip again. To set the scene here, I guess he's in the East Stand or the West Stand because he's in what looks like a big commercial kitchen. The players are in some sort of hospitality space waiting to have this meal.
There's big bags of like white powder knocking about as well. So it's like salt, isn't it? And sugar
salt,
and stuff.
The flour,
like
that. Yeah. The kitchen stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of the clip just really encapsulates the vibe that Chilino brought to Leeds and the complete chaos of it. He's in a kitchen here with lots of professional chefs as well.
Were you there?
No. Why? Because I am a professional chef.
Oh, you're just the expert, aren't you? In stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I wasn't there for this one. But just
presumably you're out catering a sort of an event or something.
The gritted teeth through which these people are having to speak to Chilino is great. So this is him first of all criticizing the ingredients he's been brought.
At next time you have to have a beef tomato. That's one there.
Beef tomato.
Big one, big fresh. One. Fresh. Fresh.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but next time I need more than 6 hours' notice.
Come on, 6 hours' notice.
It's hard to get Italian tomatoes.
I got a lot. I told Steve to bring it in here, bro. Now, listen to me.
What an unbearable arsehole. just is that bloke at work, isn't he? He's just completely draining all the time.
He's things are not going well throughout the cooking process here because he's been brought some obviously quite posh tin tomatoes, but. He's going, oh, we need fresh Italian tomatoes. And the guy quite rightly goes, you decided you wanted to do this morning.
6 hours ago, a ridiculous, impulsive decision.
So I'm like, you fuck off. He's what he wants to say. But he's his boss. And as he well knew, he's quite fond of sacking people as well. So you've got to just take a deep breath and just press on with it. So do you want to hear him explaining a bit more to a professional chef how you... It's not even a complicated sauce he's making. He's basically frying some garlic and adding some tomatoes to it.
Yep.
And he's, for some reason, trying to explain this to someone who cooks for a living.
We put a couple of leaves like that now.
Right.
Okay, that's it. You get the taste. When it's finished, you put another couple of leaves fresh.
Yeah.
When it's not too hot. Okay? But to give the smell. That's the taste. The smell after, when it's finished. Now, as you see, the basil, you give me the salt. Because in England, you must understand, you have to salt it. Put that. Bravo. Bravissimo. Now, that's the salt. It looks like sugar.
Is it salt
though,
yeah?
Yeah.
One big spoon of sugar?
No, one big spoon of sugar.
And turn down? Yes.
Bravo. That's it. 3 minutes, and it's fucking finished. That's tomato Italian soup. Straight.
Straight.
It's fucking difficult.
But easy. It's difficult, it's easy. But
it's simple, but you have to prepare the red.
The right cook.
First, the garlic. Second, the onion. Then a little bit of chili. Don't have the bird. Then the tomato. When it's cooking, tomato. 60 minutes. We need one that's already cut. That's the type of one.
Goodness, that clip made me very tired. Do you reckon they've got San Marzano tomatoes knocking about in Beeston?
It's as well the fact that at one point the guy obviously knows what he's doing because everyone goes, do you want to turn that down a bit? And he's just like adjusting things for Cellino. It just really encapsulates the way he clearly worked, which is him just barreling about the place, kind of taking the lead, but also needing someone else to just follow him around, tidying up after it and doing the actual work. And it gives you a little insight into what it must have been like working for him as a football manager, with him walking around the training ground going, hey, come on, you need to work on this shot. And they're just saying really stupid, basic stuff to people who have been in football for their whole life.
Just firing you because you've missed or whatever. Oh,
yeah, it probably doesn't quite work because we didn't have a manager at the time. But imagine preparing the season, thinking, all right, yeah, Paddy Kenny in goal, number one. And then suddenly, oh, his birthday. All right, so we need a new goalkeeper. Fine, okay.
Or him cooking for a job interview and forcing you to sit there and eat his pasta whilst he interviews you. When you've got to, because he's your potential new boss. God.
We did win that night.
Who was it against? I can't
remember. Bournemouth, a 1-0 win.
Oh, was that one?
It had been ages since we'd won as well, so there was a little bit of like, got us out of the bad form, old Cellino's pasta, he should do this every week.
Was but that then, when Baluski scored? Or was that the away game?
No, that was away. Yeah, and then,
so it's the game I was in Ken's box for.
Right.
It was also the reason he couldn't keep cooking every week was because the FA were like, you cannot be... He had to cease to be a relevant person for the next 3 months.
I'm just here as a chef. I'm not running the place.
Yeah, but it was a little bit like going undercover that you could...
I got a big hat on.
Yeah, he could run the club from the kitchen, but it didn't sound like the chef was going to be too keen on him turning the kitchens into a second office to surreptitiously run Leeds United.
How was Ken's box? About 6 foot tall? Or?
Sadly not. It was fine. Got some food in there. It was free. Radio Yorkshire paid for it, which meant kind of I paid for it a little bit because that whole operation was funded by Leeds fans one way or another, wasn't it? Yeah. So I think I did well to get some money back off that thing.
Super duper. Well, that wraps up propaganda for today then, I think, doesn't it? Enjoy the game tonight.
Try.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try. Actually, I do have a clip of Sunderland. Do you want to hear that before we leave?
Okay then.
The mad mistake. They lost 5-1 and then they drew 0-0 with Bristol. It sounds like that game was reassuringly end of season-y, so let's just hope they haven't lifted themselves ahead of tonight.
I almost fell asleep, you know, a little bit of the match. It was a bit boring today. At the end of the day, it's better than getting beat 5-1. Two teams on the beach, ready for the end of the season. Great to see Jack Clark back on the pitch. Probably won't see him next season when he leaves. And also, it's good to see Adji Lessie back on the pitch. So great to see players coming back. Leeds away Tuesday night. That could be a very tough game. But there we go.
Oh, let's hope so.
Jack Clark, don't injure yourself. You've got a big move this summer.
Definitely.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Maybe waking up with a back spasm or similar illness. Well, too much Red Bull.
Yes. That can cause spasms if you do enough of it, I suspect. Right, before Red Bull's lawyers get on me and shut this whole thing down, we'll leave it there. And fingers crossed for tonight. Would you take 5-1 again if they? This is for us, by the way.
For us, yes, I would.
You would accept that, Moscow?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Fingers crossed. We'll see you later.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.